This is Michael Olivas, the Rock and Roll Law Professor, with the Law of Rock and Roll.
It's a legal matter, baby, a legal matter from now on.
Class 34, copyright infringement, otra vez. In entertainment law, almost nothing that seems straightforward is so. This is especially true when the issue is who wrote a song, its lyrics, and even its title. Few such cases are straightforward or resolved simply because the paternity of many songs is not clear or linear. Occasionally, the issue will not be provenance so much as whether the song is a protected cover and whether or not proper royalties were paid. In a case against Rod Stewart, heirs of an early 20th century copyright sued him for his version of Corrina Corrina, a bonus song that appeared on some of the CDs of Stewart's 2013 Time album.
Corrina, Corrina, God, we have been so long.
There have been dozens of versions, several titles, and several variants of what is called a traditional song. The likely first commercial sheet music to Has Anybody Seen My Corrine was published in 1918. The first version of Corrine Corrina was recorded by Bo Carter in 1928. It was actually copyrighted 4 years later by Armenter Chapman, Bo Carter's birth name, and his publishing partners. Since then, it has been covered or adapted by dozens of blues, rock, country, and folk singers, and on the 2013 Rod Stewart album, which is the subject of this suit, where it is listed as traditional. Dylan's version from his extraordinary album, The Freewheeling Bob Dylan, was copyrighted in 1962 and 1966, and then renewed in 1990 and 1994.
Corrina, Corrina, girl, you're on my mind.
The arithmetic would seem to suggest that the 1932 Corrina, song Corrina, is in the public domain, and the case may be more like a failure to pay royalties, if they're due, than the kind of misappropriation suit, such as that of Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye, or Sam Smith and Tom Petty. If the musicology is difficult to discern, so is the arithmetic of copyright protection, as Congress keeps moving the goal line for such protection. If you're not confused enough, let's assume a work, copyright secured in 1918, that fell into the public domain at the expiration of either the 28-year first term or, assuming timely renewal, at the end of the second term of 28 years, as the law then was. Any authorized arrangement, not the same as a cover, of course, that added a sufficient quantity of original material in 1928 or thereafter could be in copyright, depending on compliance with the then-existing renewal formalities, as the original matter added in that derivative work arrangement. Thus, a current version of the work might infringe the second work as to the matter added in that derivative work, but not in the first work. Got that? This is essentially the argument advanced by the Chapman family.
Corrina, Corrina, where you been so long? Corrina, Corrina.
Now, my musicologist friends will not like what I'm saying, but we should not leave these issues to dueling musicologist expert witnesses. Congress should act, and should act appropriately, especially with the increasing and confusing dates, and clean up the issue of laches or the absurd delays in how long a claimant can lodge a suit. I'm all for artist rights, but some of these cases are just too absurd, too attenuated, and too unfair to all the parties, both in the determinations and in the remedies. And in any event, most music to my liking all has Little Richard's and Chuck Berry's DNA. Indeed, Chuck Berry has been involved in several copyright actions. One he simply waved off as too old to worry about, and another where at the end of the day he was assigned copyright by Brian Wilson's dad, who gave Berry the rights to Surfin' USA, clearly influenced by Chuck Berry's Sweet Little 16.
They're really rockin' in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA.
Mr. Wilson was a schnook in real life and didn't even inform his son Brian of the rights transfer, but he made the right decision in this matter. This is the way that the remedy should be resolved, not paying out millions to heirs down the road. This is Michael Olivas, your originally named and public domain rock and roll law professor with the Law of Rock and Roll on KANW, your NPR station in Albuquerque, New Mexico.